foremost in Europe, the Waldensians stand as a body of believers who resisted the compromises that came into Christianity following the superficial conversion of Constantine in the 4th century. They were based primarily here amongst the stunning and beautiful mountains of northern Italy. Some say the first Waldensian was Peter Waldo, a 12th century merchantman from Lyon, France, and they're named after him. However, there are records that date back much further, to at least the 4th century with Vigilantus. One of the early names for Waldensians was Insabathi, showing that early on part of their identity was Sabbath keeping. Chapter 4 outlines the key role that they played in preserving a knowledge of God's word and the principles of true Christian living in the face of great opposition. Often the Waldensians had to leave the lower valleys and flee into the mountains and even worship in secret. Caves like this dot the landscape, and they were a place of refuge and protection, a secret sanctuary, a cleft in the rock. They gave it the comfort of living peaceful lives because they believed differently than the state religion, and they valued their beliefs more than peace, prosperity, and an easy life. It would not have been easy living a much more primitive life up here. But their desire to be true to the principles of God's word was greater than their love of ease. This cave is a quiet place, not grand with gold and marble, and yet here on countless occasions, the presence of God would have been witnessed and felt as he encouraged his people to be true and firm to him in their faith and worship. The Waldensians had a passion for mission service. They were not content to live happy and holy lives, isolated as hermits in the mountains, but they intentionally trained others to go out. Using schools like this one, the College of the Barbs, they taught the Bible, they copied the Bible by hand, and they prepared to go out as undercover agents for God. They sent students to the leading universities in Europe, and they also traveled as merchants to the major cities in Europe. They did not take a copy of the whole Bible, but sometimes it was just a few pages hidden between the pieces of cloth on their cloak. And when they found someone who was a seeker for truth, they would take it out and share it with them. They had passion, ingenuity, and a desire to see the gospel spread beyond the boundaries of the valleys and mountains they lived in. May we have that same passion today. For centuries, they had stood alone and suffered persecution. But in 1532, the significant Synod of Chanfran would take place right here, where leaders of the Waldensian churches would meet leaders of the various Protestant churches to discuss beliefs and a plan moving forward. One significant decision that was made was for the Waldensian Bible to be translated into French, with the Waldensian churches raising the funds for this. Other commonalities that were discussed was a rejection of the Mass, confession, the celibacy of the priesthood, the celebration of feasts and purgatory. In times of isolation and persecution, it's important to seek out community and support from other like-minded believers. The Waldensians are one of the most persecuted and yet faithful groups throughout European history. On the 24th of April, 1655, they suffered perhaps their worst slaughter as a massacre led by the Duke of Savoy started at 4 a.m. on a Saturday morning. Men, women, children, and babies were mercilessly tortured and killed in the most gruesome ways imaginable. In order to escape this terrible massacre, hundreds of Waldensians fled to a large cave in the towering Mount Castelluzzo. The murderous soldiers, however, found them and marched them to the top. They came to this spot right here and were hurled over the edge to their death on the rocks below. I believe that on the resurrection morning, many faithful believers will rise to glory from the bottom of this mountain and in this valley. This is the reference in Milton's famous sonnet to the bloody Piedmontese that hurled mother and infant down the rocks. Survivors of the massacre were few, but they rallied together and wrote to Christians throughout Europe for help. Their letters included the heart-rending words, "Our tears are no longer of water, they are of blood. They do not merely obscure our sight, but choke our very heart." When Oliver Cromwell, Lord Protector of England, heard of the massacre, he called for a national day of fasting and collected money to send to meet the physical needs of the Waldensians. The Waldensians had a faith that reminds me of Job. They were a people who suffered attacks and persecutions for several centuries, close to 1,000 years, suffering immeasurably, and yet for many it did not weaken their faith, but rather strengthen it. Sometimes in life we may be serving God, dedicating our lives to Him, and yet we still go through hard times, trials, and sufferings that many say we do not deserve. May we have a faith like Job, who said, "Though he slay me, yet will I trust him." Whatever we go through in life, may we keep hold of God, trusting that He has our best interest at heart.